every single marketer and every single brand should be attempting to earn a disproportionate share of conversation.
If you work for an organization where they say, bring us a chart that goes up and to the right, you have a challenge.
Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. The trouble is, I don't know which half.
I am here to inspire you, to excite you, to motivate you, to transform you, to energize you.
Hello and welcome to Pipeline Visionaries. This episode features an interview with John Solomon, the CMO at Therabody, the wellness tech pioneer that brought us the Theragun, among other products that optimize human performance and unlock the body's natural ability to achieve health and well-being. In this episode, John shares his strategy to overcome the Kleenex problem and dives into how they prioritize the entry point to their brand. He also talks about how he structures his team with brand at the center to avoid silos and strengthen their go-to-market strategy. But before we get into it, here's a brief word from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Qualified. If you're a revenue team that runs your business on Salesforce, Qualified will accelerate your lead generation, pipeline, and ultimately revenue. Learn more at qualified.com.
And now, please enjoy this interview between John Solomon, the CMO at Therabody, and your host, Ian Faison.
Welcome to Pipeline Visionaries. I'm Ian Faison, CEO of Caspian Studios. And today we are joined by a special guest. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Ian. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, excited to have you on the show. Excited to chat all about Therabody, your background, marketing, and everything in between. Today's show is brought to you, as always, by our friends at Qualified. You can go to qualified.com to learn more about the number one conversational sales and marketing platform for companies' revenues, teams. They use Salesforce. Go to qualified.com to learn more. John, first question. What was your first job in marketing?
Thank you, Ian. It's a good question. And I think it might be one that maybe is a little bit non-traditional. I don't know if you could call it marketing, but I like to call it marketing. So my first job when I was graduating from college, I was actually a political science major. And I was trying to get a job in Washington, D.C. And I was having a tough time doing it. And I finally got recruited by the State Department. If you can imagine, this was 2003. There was the Iraq War had just finished. There was at least the George Bush had said, President Bush had said, mission accomplished, right? We all know, maybe many people don't, but know that what happened then, right? So I was basically hired as they were starting to do the reconstruction in Iraq. I was hired as an information officer. And that meant that I would get into the office every morning about 5:30, 6 a.m. and I'd take all the information coming into the field about what they were doing there, ports opening, you know, electricity flowing, and I'd have packaged that up, spin it a little bit sometimes, and ultimately use that to have to communicate to a lot of stakeholders internally across the government, private sector, Congress. And why I say it's marketing is because ultimately it was taking information, it was packaging it up, it was trying to make it so people would actually want to read it, engage with it, try to tell stories with it. It was a very serious topic, right? And some lot of money we're spending. But ultimately, I had to do internal comms and communications to all these stakeholders. And I would say learning at a very early age how to do that and how to do it succinctly, how to convey messages, how to write really well, and how to get up really early in the morning and have to grind things out. I think I was kind of like I say was probably my first job really thinking about marketing and communications.
I think that might be a Pipeline Visionaries first. I don't know if we've had anyone from the State Department on the show as their first job in marketing. I think you might be one of one there.
There we go.
Well, and flash forward to today, you are CMO of Therabody. Everybody knows of the Theragun, including Larry David, who gave one as a gift in the latest episode of Curb. Pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah, we love that. Funny story there is that everyone's like, how'd you do that? What agency did you use to do that? It was actually before my time, when I was there, but we had an office in Santa Monica and he was filming down the street. And he walked in to the office and was kind of like, you know, what's this about? What's going on here? And he met Dr. Jason, our founder, and they kind of built a relationship over time, over the years. He was a huge fan of the product. And when it came time to his final season, he was like, I'm gonna take care of you guys for being such a fan for so long. So we knew it was gonna be in there. We didn't know exactly how it was gonna be and where the storyline. And I think as a marketer, you cannot imagine kind of having basically an episode where it's not just product placement, it's like a character in it. Yep. So it's really authentic. Larry loves the product. And I can't tell you when that aired, the amount of text messages I got from people all around. So it was great. Very great to see that you saw that.
It's epic. It's so epic. And, you know, we were talking off air, and I mentioned that the first time I used the Theragun was at a friend's bachelor party where we played a bunch of golf and someone had them. And I was like, what is that little thing you got there? And I spent every day working on my hamstrings at the end of a long day of golf. And I was just like, this is amazing. This is so good. Truly a word of mouth superstar is the Theragun and all the stuff that you're doing at Therabody.
Yeah. It's me similar. Like I'm a huge cyclist. I was doing a big ride that I do every year from a charity ride from San Francisco to LA. And I remember on like the third day, a guy brought up the Theragun and it was like, oh my God, what's that? You know, got to try it. And I became hooked way before even joining Therabody. And I think that's really propelled the brand early days was the people, you know, like yourself, like me, who I think really were leaning into technology to solve these problems, right? Especially kind of sports related, obviously athletes, teams really leaned into it early on. But ultimately, Dr. J created the product, you know, after he was, you know, in a motorcycle accident and he was really looking to solve for his pain. And he didn't want to use, you know, that went down the normal route of surgeries and opioids and things like that. So we all just say born out of necessity. You know, this product was really born out of necessity when he created it, took a jigsaw, you know, and he put a tennis ball on the end of it. And now we're on our, you know, sixth generation of that product. But, you know, it definitely, you know, we want people to see that word of mouth is not just for the weekend warrior or the athlete, you know, and that's what's exciting, I think. And what we've been doing over the last couple of years is how do we get that word of mouth around people that, you know, are dealing with all sorts of aches and pains, right? And I think that's the next chapter we're on. And I think seeing Larry David talk about, you know, how it helped. I love he said it helped, you know, he only needed it for 1 minute and it healed his injury. I told Illegal, I was like, that's our new claim we're going to use. It's going to quote Larry David. But word of mouth is really powerful, you know, when you have a great product. I think the challenge is, and I've experienced this a lot in my career, is that when people try and copy you, when they see something's hot, you know, and their category is working, then you have other people start to come in and it brings a lot of noise and we have to continue to up our game, right? And we have to continue to innovate. We have to continue to explain why our products, you know, are better and we invest in science and research and there is a difference, you know, in our products than others who you might find, you know, are just kind of copying us and going for a price play on Amazon or something.
Yeah. And we'll dig into that a bunch here in a second, but I did want to mention the science piece of this. Like my wife is a physical therapist. My brother is a PTA. A lot of my friends are physical therapists and physical therapy for me personally, like I had some health stuff that was going on and I did physical therapy and it made a huge difference, specifically like massage and cupping as part of the overall treatment plan. And I didn't even know that Therabody had a Theracup, cupping as well until I was prepping for this interview. So I was like, oh geez, even I didn't know as a fan of the Theragun. But I think that part of it, having it backed by science, having this be part of a modern approach to health and to wellness in a way that people don't know. I mean, I think it is like category defining and it is really interesting because, you know, you mentioned how it's not just for the athlete. It's like how your muscles behave is and how in sync all this stuff is with your body is like super important, right? And like gone are the days of like, hey, just reach and touch your toes and your hamstrings are going to be fine. Like that's just not how the body actually works. And I just think it's cool that, you know, born from a, you know, from a doctor and coming from a very scientific background, that there's ways to use these things at home that can accentuate the stuff that you do with a physical therapist, with a doctor and all that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, similar thing, you know, I experienced as a cyclist, slipped on some black ice, you know, fell on my back. For me, it was like the chiropractor, massage therapist, you know, that kind of 1-2 punch, accentuating it with some of our products. And it really works, right? We announced that we actually just launched our scientific advisory board. And we also just announced that we're going to be investing $10 million in research over the next few years to really double down in this space. Because what we've found is that when we enter a space, like you said, when we came out with cupping, people said, hey, I've been thinking about this, or I've been kind of dabbling in it, but now that you all are coming out with it and you're putting your brand behind your innovation, and we made it in a really accessible way for consumers and prosumers to use, like I'm now going to get into this product. So we really take it seriously, and we will no longer launch any product that does not have scientific claims. So if we launch a sleep product, you know, really that it, we've actually done, you know, a couple years ago, we launched our smart goggles, which helps you relax before sleep. You know, we did a partnership with Sleep Score Labs, and we also looked at how it helps time to fall asleep and actually the quality of your sleep, right? And so we are now working with third-party entities, research organizations. We have an in-house science team as well. It's super important because there's a lot of things out there that can be very dangerous. And what we're hearing from our consumers is, I really, and in the growth of this kind of health and wellness space, it's like, I really want to understand the science behind this. And I don't want a gimmick. And consumers are doing their research. And it's been a core pillar of ours. And I think we're trying to separate ourselves even more by that science and thought leadership. So again, we have a great science advisory board all the way from, you know, from a, you know, dermatologist to women's wellness to longevity, all going to be inputting into product development, the science of it, so we can continue to be in the forefront of this space. I'm super excited because my passion is technology. All the brands I've been in were as consumer electronics, whether it was headphones with Beats or personal computing with Apple. Right now, like the health side of it is just so interesting, right? Like the ability to bring technology to a lot of these challenges, especially as we have an aging population that wants to stay active longer. You just look at pickleball, you know, yeah, and all the headlines you're probably seeing around that about the number of injuries from that because of the people that want to stay active. They love the sport. Their bodies are aging a bit, you know, and so how do we look at solutions, education, protocol, support, you know, more of these consumers who want to, you know, from that, again, from that elite athlete, all the way to someone who just wants to keep moving longer and later in life.
Let's get to our first segment, the trust tree.
With the knowledge you've been given, you are now on the inside of what I like to call the circle of trust.
What, I thought we were in the trust tree with in the nest, are we not?
The trust tree is where you go, feel honest and trusted, and share those deepest, darkest marketing secrets. We know a little bit about Therabody. Can you tell a little bit more about what your company does and who are your customers?
Yeah, great question. I mean, we've evolved, like you said. I think a lot of people think of us there. You know, I used to, when I started, I'm working at Therabody. What's Therabody? You know, we make a Theragun. Oh, I know the Theragun, right? So now it's much more about, we've been building the brand Therabody, and we really reimagining health and well-being, like we said, through the kind of the science-backed technology. And, you know, we really are all about helping you to live healthier lives and to live longer lives and through the use of technology, like I said. Started by our founder, Dr. Jason. I kind of talked a bit about his story, who created Theragun. But now we've really expanded into kind of three main verticals and how I've kind of organized the brand around this greater mission. The first really is that area we talked about, which is that performance. So how are we supporting the weekend warrior teams, athletes who really want, you know, the top of the line, the latest technology, right? Our Pro Plus that we launched last year, you know, I have one right behind me here, but you know, this thing has hot, cold, we have LED light therapy coming out, we have vibration, we have, you know, mindfulness, all in this one device, which used to just do percussive therapy. And so now we're really thinking about what that's the bleeding edge and how you to perform better and get back and recover faster to hit your PRs, come back from injury. So that's kind of our core, and we're not walking away from that. What we've seen, though, is that there's two really other interesting areas. One is wellness, right? How do we start to take some of these technologies and apply it to sleep? How do we apply it to non-sport related pain? How do we apply it to stress, mental health? So that's an area that we're really pushing into with some of the things we've come out with over the past couple of years, and even Theraguns that are different for those needs, right? You might not need everything I just talked about if it's someone who's, you know, wants to just stay active, grandparent to work, to play with their grandkids longer. You don't need the same level of intensity. You don't need all this technology, so we can give you a great quality product, maybe even at a price point you want to enter at. Our third area, which we kind of, you know, again, followed the consumer into, was the beauty tech side of things. You know, what we found is, and you brought up the mini, people were taking the mini, they're putting a super soft attachment on it, and they're using it on their face for tension, TMJ, yeah, all sorts of things, which we were like, hey, that's actually not what you should be using that level of amplitude for,
right,
on your face, right? You need something a bit softer. So that led us to really exploring, what about massage for your face? And that led us to hold down a path of a whole different modalities we can now put into a, I don't have one with me, but our TheraFace device, that now has the ability to do our signature percussive therapy, but we now have added the ability to microcurrent, red light, which is great for fine lines and wrinkles, cleansing, hot and cold. So we created a completely new device and entered the more of this beauty tech space. And we had, you know, huge success here. And so we came up with our second product last year, which was the TheraFace mask. It was an LED mask. But we put our spin on it as not only having the LED lights, we actually had vibration therapy too. Kind of so going back to our DNA of understanding a lot of these technologies and combining them in interesting ways. So that's kind of our third area. And it's allowed us to do all sorts of different things with our consumers, right? We can put together a story for beauty and wellness. We can put together a story around performance and wellness. And now we have the ability to go after all sorts of different consumers and bring them into the brand. You might come in through a beauty product, but then you learn, wow, I love the mini, or I love, you know, the goggles to help me sleep. So we find that it's a really interesting intersection around these kind of three key areas. Going back to your question of really kind of what's the company and what do we do? That's our kind of focus and formation right now.
You have a bit of the Kleenex problem where it's like, you know, in a good way, where, I mean, I don't even know what you would call your competitive landscape, right? It's like, there's just the Theragun, right? It's like, that's the only thing that matters. You know what I mean? Which is obviously great. But like you said, you know, people don't know that Kimberly-Clark owns Kleenex, right? So it's like, how do you sort of get people to know all of the other options that you have there, you know, especially if they buy the Theragun, you know, not direct from the website, if they buy it from, you know, somewhere else. So I'm curious, like, how do you sort of address the, you know, that sort of issue where it's like, everyone knows you for this one thing, but you might not have like a digital relationship with that person, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's a great point. First of all, thank you for recognizing that. I think we do, we do have competition, but I would say that in the area we play in, which is called the not cheap, you know, knockoff on Amazon, that we've really started to separate ourselves. And I think the challenge we have is, like you said, is a lot of people say, I have a Theragun. I'm like, you know, what does it look like? What color is it? You know, that's actually not a Theragun. So one thing that I as a marketer really believe in is the idea of like distinctive brand assets. And if you look at the Theragun, and again, right here, the thing that's so different about this product is the triangle. And the triangle is patented, right? And no other device, because we have that protected, has the triangle. So a lot of what we've done, if you looked at what we've launched, and the reason why it's triangle is because it helps you reach more parts of your body than any other product and has great ergonomics, right? So there's actually a really important to the triangle. So when we looked at evolving our brand evolution, it's like we have to own the triangle, right? The triangle and probably this blue is probably one of our most important brand assets. And so if you look at The triangle is now on every one of our packaging. It's everything that we, you know, we're relooking and reimagining our website, our app. It's all about people. If they don't necessarily remember the Theragun or whatever, these different products, it's like, I want the triangle one, right? That's the one that I want. And that's what the memory we want to keep in people's heads. Memories are so important, right? Because people are not going to remember that much stuff. But in marketing, you want to really focus on a few memories to create. One is a triangle, right? So that's how we're solving at least the Kleenex problem. When you're talking about the broader ecosystem, that's when we need to start thinking about digital is a huge focus of ours, and having that first party relationship is a big part of our strategy. Second is we work with key retailers. We're in about 10,000 doors, right? You walk into a Best Buy, you walk into a Target, you'll see the merchandise there. You'll see us merchandised. You'll see how we come to life as a brand, right? And we have, like I said, we have a bunch of shop and shops, over 50 now at Best Buy, Target, Costco, Dick's Sporting Goods, right? So we're really where our consumers are, so we can tell that story in a retail standpoint. And then online standpoint, you know, we're looking at all sorts of pathways to bring people in, whether it's Amazon, whether it's our site. We really work with, you know, a whole bunch of different of the marketing levers. But that's kind of our job, and that's my team's job, is to know how we can go to that audience, bring them in, right, to our world, and really explain that story. And we see it in the results, right? We see, if you look at search results of Therabody over the last 2 years, they're 3 years, it's all trending upwards, right? So all the work we're doing to build that brand, and not you're thinking like a Theragun, you're thinking Therabody is helping bring technology to problems that I have, right? And that's the message we want to have. And that's the work we're doing. And that's the work my team has to do to be able to continue to educate. Because like you said, you know, we have a lot of products, but we still really believe that Theragun is the way into the brand, right? It's like when I was at Apple, it was like the iPhone, right? It's like the iPhone's the way into the brand, right? That was what brought you into the ecosystem. Way back in the day, it was the Mac. Right. That did that. But even when we were at Beats, right? When I was at Beats, it was like the Solo 2 was like the product. That was a product people came in for, right? And then you figured out in-ears and you figured out other speakers. So I think you also, you have to focus, right? And so we don't give everything the same airtime. We don't give everything the same investment, because some of it is about the Halo products, and that brings you in, you build a relationship, and then over time you bring them in across the ecosystem. That's at least my belief as a marketer.
Yeah, I love that. Any other thoughts on sort of your overall marketing strategy or how you structure your marketing team in order to deliver that message?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'd say kind of like two-part response to that. First is I kind of, you know, again, believe in what's the simple thing that everyone can point to is kind of that North Star that we look to. And for me, and it actually came, our social team came up with this through a strategy session. It was like, life hurts, and like, we're here to help. So it's like, as a marketing team, it's like life, like, it's so hard. Like, I'm a new dad, and you know, my back's hurting because lifting my kid up, you know, you're a nurse on your feet all day. Like you said, you got to go to a bachelor party and play an excessive rounds of golf. It hurts, right? And we're here to help you with that. We're providing solutions. So every day, that's what we need to kind of look as our North Star, and we should be doing that. And I really look at it as like four key areas to do that. One is like really being, we have to be relatable, right? So we have to go beyond those athletes, and we have to tell many different stories. The difference between a phone that I marketed or a headphone is it's different when you're putting on your body, right? Like, you can look and say, hey, LeBron wears Beats, you know, walking in. LeBron's not wearing Beats to perform, right? I mean, yes, he's getting the mindset and things like that, but it's not actually like he's using it to, like, you know, in an athletic sense. And so when you're really thinking about your body, you have to be able to kind of speak to that audience, right? You can't just show Ronaldo using a Theragun and a grandparent's going to say, man, that's for me and my kids, right? So relatability is really important. As you'll see over the last year, we've telling a lot more different stories around different audiences. Second, we already talked about was like, how do we, if we're going to help people, we have to have a direct relationship with them, right? So continuing to invest in the digital side of things and how we have more and more direct relationships and personalized communications. The third area that I kind of touched on a little bit is that thought leadership, right? How do we continue to be the voice in this space? And the last is like really being community minded, right? you know, when I love working this brand because rarely does anyone like have anything bad to say about it, right? You're definitely helping people, but we need to like listen to them, you know, inspire them, activate with them. So really thinking about community. So those are kind of the ways I think about it. From a team structure standpoint, I'm a big believer that your kind of brand team has to sit in the middle. It's the hub of your going to market approach, right? And so I have brand team really thinking about it in those three areas I talked to you about before, the performance, wellness, and beauty. And then we have specific brand managers that really think about specific audiences. But that's who's driving the integrated process, right? That who's bringing the functions together saying, hey, we're launching this product, or hey, we got Mother's Day, or hey, this week we have Sleep Week, right? And then bringing together what's influencer, what's PR, what's the site, what's email, what's media, what's all of those teams are doing to drive that integrated process. So that's what I'm a really big believer in, and how you structure things, or else it becomes really siloed, becomes fragmented. You have one team going there shooting that content, another team going over there doing that. Doesn't hang together. It's not bigger. It's not like 1 + 1 = 4 or 5. So that's how I really structure the team and think about it, to have really integrated marketing.
I wonder how many people own Therabody products that don't also own a Theragun, right? It's like, and you basically answered that as like, for all those other products, you start with, they should own a Theragun, yeah. and then they'll probably buy the second thing, right? But yeah, I was like, I wonder how many people that is. It's a fascinating idea.
Yeah. It is. People usually start with the Theragun. I think it could change over time with getting more into beauty or other things, getting to sleep. I think it could change over time. Yeah. But right now, there's still so many people who still don't even know what a Theragun is.
Yeah, exactly. One, it's like, you know, I sort of, because of my family, like I sort of live in this world, but it's like, I remember when I was learning about, you know, this stuff by sitting in a room next to my wife going through PT school. And I'm like, oh, muscles can be pushed in and also pulled out through cupping. And you're like, oh, that's interesting that's doing different things. And it's just, I think fundamentally, this is a total tangent, but fundamentally it's like, we should probably teach like anatomy in high school in a way that we actually understand our own bodies in any way, because like how our muscles and joints and all the stuff work together and like the practical stuff that you can do. But I think that's like a huge problem that y'all face. I'm curious like how you think about that, because teaching people about their bodies is like the business that you're in, right? It's like, hey, did you know that you can use these things to, you know, live a longer, happier life? Like that's a pretty hard sell, you know, for some people, and it's a pretty easy sell for others.
Yeah, so I say to my team all the time, education is our biggest challenge, right?
Yeah.
It is having people, you know, give this to your device to, you know, your aunt, your uncle, your grandparent. What are they going to do with this thing? You know, like it's not obvious.
Right.
Right. Especially if you're not, like you said, in the world where you might be really focused on recovery or health and wellness, right? And early adopters of technology. So it is something that we invest a lot in. You know, we have an education team. We really think a lot about all the different touch points that people want to be educated from. Funny thing we just launched back again is, you know, phone support. You know, we started going into a more aging consumer. They want to pick up the phone and talk to you about it. They didn't want to go online or use an app. We started to put, you know, in our packaging, we started to actually put physical cards with routines on it of how to, you know, which attachment to use, what handle grip, where to put on your body, for how long. Because some consumers, they don't want to scan a QR code and you know, go in an app, right? So we have to think about all the ways people want to be educated, right? Some people want text message, some people want a call, some people want a QR code, some people want a YouTube video. So you kind of have to be everywhere. Right. I mean, you really have to think about how always to educate. I'm really excited about where technology, and not to nerd out here for a moment, but I'm really excited to where technology is going. When you think about AI, when you think about like AR, VR, right? Like my big dream is to one day have, you know, a virtual Dr. J where, you know, he could come up on a screen and tell you, we're helping someone out today who has plantar fasciitis. And it's like, I have to like connect them on text. They're going to set up a call. He's going to help educate them, you know, but like, how do we do that at scale? right? How do we like start to really use technology to scale education, to personalize education? I think technology, the way it's changing and evolving, we're not that far away from it, right? Where you can be wearing Vision Pro or Oculus, you know, and having one of our products and, you know, can get education right there, right? And walk you through what to do. I think once we can do that, that is super exciting, right? Because it is hard to get educated, right? And it's because everyone has like a personal thing, you know. It was dawned on me, we had an offsite earlier this year. One of our early founders with Dr. J and Sherman now is Ben, and he was skiing and he tore his ACL. You know, and this guy's literally created a number of our products. And first thing he does is calls Dr. J and says, what do I do? Which product should I use? And literally, if he doesn't know, how are we expecting our consumers to know?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? And so it's like that we take it for granted. I think living in the world we live in and knowing our products so much that we really have to have that day or one mindset of like someone takes this out of the box or gets a gift. Like, what do I do with it? So I don't, you know, I've been rambling on with this question. That was a great one because it's something I think about every day.
Yeah, me too. I think about it every day too, because I, you know, I live it, right? Because it's like every day I have to think about like, oh, well, my feet hurt, or, you know, like my hamstrings hurt today or whatever. What do I do today? Right? Because I don't have a, you know, appointment scheduled with a physical therapist or whatever. So I think it is not to be too dramatic, but it is like, it is one of the things that like is a trial of our times, is like, how does this generation, you know, age gracefully and be able to, you know, do a lot of the things that our parents' generation couldn't do when they turned 70 or 80 years old, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think we have found that people, when you're in pain, you are really looking for solutions, right? And yep. It's one thing if you're like 20s and 30s and you're like, you know, I can kind of just, you know, hop back on the bike or do whatever again, right? When you're like, you know, in your 40s, 50s, it's not that easy, right? And you can get injured and it changes it starts to change things. So I think that the fact that technology can help with that is really exciting. And I think in our, you know, in our lifetimes, when we see where like medicine's evolving, people are going to, you know, knock on wood, but people are going to live longer, right? We're making huge strides in things like cancer research, which I'm really passionate about, all sorts of things, right? People are going to live longer, right? And I think that's exciting, but like it's still the same body, you know? We have to think about how do we, even if we are getting rid of some of these diseases and things like that, other things, right? Broken bones, other things that are going to come up, right? A fall, like we know of all those things that can really have an impact on someone's, you know, mental health, physical health, and ultimately longevity. So I'm excited by where technology is going and how technology can really help enable in this area.
Yeah, me too. I'm super excited. And I think it's like, there are so many secrets that we don't know the answers to yet about our bodies, especially women's health. Like that's the other thing too, is like, we've been studying dudes for a long time in the world, is like, women's health is significantly farther behind, which is tragic.
If you look at the stats about the research, where the funding has gone, how little certain topics have, menopause, for example, and things, how little it's been researched, it's shocking, you know? So it's really a priority for us on getting that representation, our science advisory board. That's where we're looking to do more research in that area. That is, you know, a growing focus of ours. I think we're pretending to have, you know, completely cracked it, because I think it requires a lot more research because it's been so under research, but that is something we are committing to as we continue to invest in this science, within the science and research space.
Yeah, that's exciting. It is super needed. Okay, let's get to our next segment, the playbook.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Where you open up that playbook and you talk about the tactics that help you win. What are your three channels and tactics that are your most uncuttable budget items?
I'm a big believer in the power of television, call it television, and kind of, I think social, you know, I was a digital marketer. I came up through that, which I think gave me a real healthy skepticism of the industry. And I like, you know, I still think that capturing people's attention is hard. I think you could capture people's attention on a larger screen. So whether it's YouTube video, and you know, connected TV, linear TV, I don't think you can grow a brand. I think everyone wanted to believe that they could all create D2C brands just using performance media. All those brands are now, you know, probably getting into TV now if you watch television. So I don't use it, you know, I don't use it all the time, but I can't imagine not being able to pull that lever, especially to get in front of some new audiences and to grow the brand. So that's really important for me. A second thing is like PR. I think PR and comms is so, so important. I think the ability to get your story told, the ability to get coverage, to inspire, you know, journalists, writers, I think that has a huge, huge ROI, be way beyond what you're usually paying for those. So I think that's one of the most important channels for me. I think especially when you're a small company, you don't have big budgets, you know, that is a way that you can invest and you can really get build some great buzz. The third area, having the ability to experience the brand, right? I think we are such a product that is, you have to, if you try a Theragun versus trying one of our other products, you see the difference right away. So retail, really important for us. We have our own stores, about 20 of our own stores around the country. Like I said, we're in all the key retailers. We invest in merchandising. We invest in showing it the right way, in a premium way. And that would be the third area, is kind of that in-person retail experience, at least for our product. We cannot be an online-only product. We'd have to be something you actually engage with and touch and trial.
Yeah, I just want to rip off a couple of things that I found fascinating in our research that I didn't know. Number one, you have a military discount, military first responders discount, which is cool. I think that's, as someone who's in the military, I find that's something that people don't market enough and put into their marketing, because I think it shows that you like care, and also it helps people pull the trigger. Pardon the pun, I suppose. The other thing that I thought was interesting is that you were doing this, and I don't know if you're still doing this, that basically sort of like not a buyback program, but basically someone brings in, you know, a competitor to one of your stores that they get a little rebate on to buying a Theragun. I found that's really cool. Because, you know, who wants those stinky competitors? I don't know. Are you still doing that?
Yeah. You know, both of those things, right? And we're actually talking about, you know, with military and even, you know, first responders, nurses, things like that. We do offer a discount. We don't talk about it enough. We don't push it enough. And something that we're literally having conversations today about, very important for us, something we've always supported, believe in. Also education discounts as well. And then we do, yeah, we started that. We've always talked about it, that program. You know, I remember I was there when Apple started the iPhone trade-in program. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very hard program to execute. It's a lot of logistics to do it at scale. So we launched two pilots. One we did with Best Buy. They're excited to start, where you could bring in a product, a competitor product, or their old Theragun, and you could trade, you know, get some credits. And then we launched it at our own stores after that. And, you know, people have been asking about it for a while, right? These products last a long time. And so people want to feel like, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. I just want to get the newest and latest one. So we're looking at extending that program to make it more widely available for people who potentially, you know, want to do from not go to a store or not near a store, right? Send it in. So starting to explore things like that. And how do we kind of like recycle that, right? So how do we take that and, you know, could sell it, you know, as a discounted product, refurbish the product. We can even take, you know, reuse parts of it, things like that. So really important for us to keep pushing on that program, that we'll continue to expand it.
Yeah, it's cool. And I think it just shows that you care. And that's like the most important thing, like your brand experience or your customer experience is your brand, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that stuff's cool. The other couple of things I wanted to mention, some of the products are like HSA approved, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have money in your HSA, you can spend it, which I think that's also something that's, I don't know how unique that is, but that was pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's been a big push for us. A number of our products are HSA, FSA approved. We worked with a company called Sika Health last year, which actually integrates into our website. So you can check out and you can input your number, and similar to how you can do with Amazon. Mm-hmm. And it's fully integrated. And a lot of consumers are starting to do that now and as well. And it's a huge, huge benefit, especially certain times of the year when you're trying to look to spend what you might have left over. So that's a big focus of ours, to make sure our push to have our products be eligible.
I love that. And then the final thing is that you do corporate gifting as well, so that, you know, and for people who are listening to this show, marketing teams and whatnot, you want to give them to your customers, you want to give them to your employees, you want to give them to, you know, prospects or something like that, that you could give these puppies away. And our marketers, you know, our listeners are always looking at things to give people. And goodness gracious, would that not be the best thing to give a prospect in the whole wide world?
Yeah, you are hitting on all of my points. I love this. You're an evangelist here. Yes, we have a whole corporate gifting program. You can take the mini, the other products, goggles, put your logo on it. Huge around the holiday time. People love to give it out. Like you said, clients give it out to your employees. So it's a big, big part of our business.
Well, it excited me from a marketing perspective, because you're always thinking of something. If you're going to give, you know, the CIO of XYZ Corp, you know, something that they're going to want and they're going to use and they're going to be reminded of, you know, you give them a mug and they see your brand and they say, oh yeah, I'm going to go buy that software. You give them a Theragun, it's like, and they're using it, you know, and their spouse is using it, and their yeah. kids, like, you know, mom, I don't know where you got this. This is the best thing ever. Like, that is a brilliant yeah. piece of marketing that sits around the house and is actually used all the time. So yeah, anywho, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Cause I remember when I was, you know, I remember, you know, around holiday time, you get booze, right? You just get, you know, yeah. your agencies, you mean, just be champagne and wine yeah. and liquor and, like, you know, cool, great. But, like, what about for about the same, you know, price, you give someone a mini that they're going to use, that a little bit healthier, you know, for them. So yeah, it's something that, again, is a great gift. It's a great gift to and people love it and love getting it.
Anything that you are, that's either not working, that you're thinking of cutting or you're cutting, or anything that you are excited to experiment with in terms of your marketing budget?
Well, we've touched on a few of them. I do think, you know, I'm really excited about some of the technology changes we talked about. The big thing for me with my team is, I think that a marketing organization at the end of the day is a creative organization, right? And I think that what we bring is ideas and creativity. So I think the biggest thing I'm focusing on is really encouraging teams to take risks. And I think that in the last couple of years, when you look at all these layoffs, right, you look at all this downsizing, this cost cutting, I think people started to get very scared of trying things and taking risks, because mm-hmm. it's a scary time, right? But if an organization loses that is really scary to me. And as a marketer who always values, at the end of the day, I say to some of my friends that are the best strategists in the world, say, you know, you have the best decks, the best strategies, which I love. I was a strategist. But an idea well executed, you know, can just carry that so much further, right? I think about when I was at Beats and we created, you know, the Straight Outta Compton meme, you know, for the movie that came out. If you remember, it was Straight Outta Blank, right? And then fill in the blank and upload it, right? My team, you know, three young marketers were put in a room and said, come up with an idea, you know, and it was a 50K idea that led to, you know, you don't have many viral moments as a brand, especially not anymore. But again, it was about an insight that was an idea that traveled and was really well timed. And I think that as marketers and as a team, it's like we have to have people take risks, right? And, you know, sometimes it won't get sold through. Sometimes we'll say, okay, it's a little, you know, a little too risky. We're not going to launch that. But I'd rather at least have people go through it and, you know, take some risks, take some shots. And I think that's the thing I'm really thinking about, is how do you have a culture that, you know, you have to have excellence, you have to have, you know, ROI, all the things that marketers are being challenged with now these days, but get to some, you know, bold thinking, get to some risk taking, and having people feel comfortable with that. So that's what I think that's the superpower you can unlock in a marketing organization. If you can kind of churn out a 3 or 4 great ideas a year, you're doing really, really well.
All right, let's get to our last segment, quick hits. These are quick questions and quick answers, just like how quickly Qualified helps companies generate pipeline, tap into your greatest asset, your website, and identify your most valuable visitors and instantly start sales conversations. Go to qualified.com to learn more. Quick hits, John, are you ready?
I am ready.
Number one, do you have a hidden talent or skill that's not on your resume?
I think it's very difficult to ruffle my feathers. My mom used to say that I was like a barge, just kind of moving along. I don't have really huge highs and lows. It's just kind of steady state. And I would say that's probably what my team would say that's not on my resume.
Love it. Do you have a favorite book, podcast, or TV show that you'd recommend?
I just came across a most awesome podcast, aside from this one, obviously.
Sure.
It's called The Founders Podcast. Mm. And it is literally goes back and kind of looks at founders' biographies and autobiographies and kind of talks through them and explains them and dissects them. Right. And I listened to this one on Les Schwab Tires and how that company was founded based on a book that's of his, his biography. Anyway, there's an amazing, amazing stories of different founders. And I just nerd out on that sort of stuff. So Founders Podcast, great podcast to listen to.
Love it. If you weren't in marketing or business at all, what do you think you'd be doing?
I would probably be a ski patroller in Montana. I'm a huge skier. I love being up in Montana. I love being in the outdoors. Sometimes I say maybe I'll be like a greeter. Maybe I'm not even qualified enough to be a ski patrol, but maybe one of those greeters at the bottom of the hill, or maybe even working in like the ski shop, you know, helping people with rentals.
What's your best advice for a first-time CMO?
I think I would say buckle up. You know, it's a ride. There's ups and downs. It's probably harder than you think it will be, but also immensely rewarding. But it's definitely a ride.
Well, that is it. That's all we got for today, John. Thanks so much for joining the show. For our listeners, go to therabody.com to check them out. Go get a Theragun if you don't have one. They're awesome. John, any final thoughts? Anything to plug?
No, Ian, I really enjoyed the conversation. Really, really had a great time. If anyone wants, I always love to help out with career advice, anything around marketing, reach out to me on LinkedIn. You can find me there. Probably the best way to reach me.
I love it. Awesome. Thanks, John. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thanks again to our friends at Qualified.com, a conversational sales and marketing platform that transforms the way B2B companies sell. Go to Qualified.com to learn more.